بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصل الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected listeners, we were discussing a series, you may call it, of those Sahaba who rendered the Adhan before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we just discussed, the greatest of all and the most senior of all these Muadhinin was Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. After Bilal radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi who was second in this position was a man who was so great, to such an extent that imagine Allah revealing verses. Allah sends down verses portraying his status. This Sahabi is none other than Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, he's also from the Quraysh tribe, the Amiri tribe, meaning Lu'ay. When we read Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abd Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murra bin Ka'b bin Lu'ay. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes via Ka'b. This Sahabi, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, comes via Amir. Now Ka'b and Amir were brothers. So he is also from the Quraysh tribe. His father was a man by the name of Abdullah bin Qais. And his mother was Atika binti Abdullah. This Sahabi, why was he known as the son of Ummi Maktoum, even though his mother's name was Atika? He was known as Ibn Ummi Maktoum because he was born visually impaired. This is why he was given this title, Ibn, the son of Ummi Maktoum. He embraced Islam in the early stages. In the early stages of the Meccan era, this young man embraced Islam. He was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his ailment did not stop him from this. Anyway, another view regarding his father's name was Qais bin Zaidah, Qais bin Zaidah, and mother being Atika binti Abdullah. Anyway, Abdullah radiallahu anhu embraced Islam in the early stages. Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat early on, and he went through all the sacrifices that the Muslims went through. But the period of Makkah was very, very difficult. The first 3 years, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting to Islam secretly. And then from the fourth year onward, openly Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite and call to Allah Ta'ala's deen. And all the Muslims were going through a lot of torture and difficulty. Khabbab radiallahu anhu, Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu, as we discussed last, and Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu as well. They would go through so much. He went through all of that. They were forced to leave Islam. فَمَا لَانَتْ لَهُ قَنَاتٌ وَلَا فَتَرَتْ لَهُ حَمَاسَةٌ. He did not give in. He did not yield, nor did he soften. He did not give in his iman. He protected his iman. And what was also amazing about this Sahabi, like all the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he loved to learn more and more of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Every opportunity to learn deen, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum took it. This is something really we need to bring into our life. That zest, that desire to learn more and more. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man humani la yashba'an. Two people who are actually engrossed would never ever get satiated. But one is meritorious, the other is discouraged. Man humani fil ilm, man humun fil ilm. One who is engrossed in acquiring, in the acquisition of the knowledge of deen. He just wants more and more and more. The more one delves into the learning of Allah's deen, he realizes how deep the knowledge is, and he wants to learn more and more and more. And the other is dunya. The one who is engrossed in acquiring the world, the dunya, he doesn't stop, he becomes oblivious, and he forgets his priority in life, which is dangerous. So Allah forgive us. Regarding ilm and deen, we should not have contentment. Regarding a'mal, we should not have contentment. Yes, regarding the world, dunya, there we are encouraged to be contented people. That be happy with what Allah Ta'ala has given us. Give our time for that, but don't make that the be-all and the end-all. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a beautiful hadith narrated by Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Dharr, O Abu Dharr, لَأَن تَغْدُوَ فَتَعَلَّمَ آيَةً مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِّن أَن تُصَلِّيَ مِئَةَ رَكْعَةٍ. If you go early in the morning and you learn one ayah of the Qur'an Kareem, Allah rewards you with more thawab than even reading 100 rak'at of nafil salah, of optional prayer. 100 rak'at. Then Allah's Nabi said, if you go and you learn one chapter of the knowledge of deen, any beneficial chapter important for our deen, you learn that chapter in regards to deen, Allah rewards you as though you perform more than 1,000 rak'at of salah. خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَن تُصَلِّيَ أَلْفَ رَكْعَةٍ وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَوَاهُ ابْنُ مَاجَةٍ. And we see this in this sahabi. Every opportunity he found with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took it. Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم used to give him time. But he had so much of desire to learn, there were other times that Allah's Nabi was occupied with others. But this sahabi wanted to learn more. He wanted to learn more. And what we learn from here, let's take these opportunities. Go to the imam of your masjid, my respected listeners. Go to the alim in your community. Ask him for time. Ask, if you're a woman, there's a certain apa, she has knowledge. Go to her. Learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Learn the Quran Kareem. Never stop learning. Learn this from Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, he's looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the early Meccan stage. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion was busy discussing with the seniors of Makkah. These are the leaders of Makkah who were responsible for torturing the Muslims. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now occupied and engrossed in talking to them. Utbah bin Rabi'ah, Shayba bin Rabi'ah, Amr bin Hisham. Amr bin Hisham is the name of Abu Jahl. Umayyah bin Khalaf, Walid bin Mughira. Now these are the seniors of Makkah, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a discussion with them, and he is dialoguing with them, and he is talking to them, and he is inviting them to Allah. And he's showing them the beauty of the Quran and trying to make them understand that what is wrong with Islam. You all should embrace Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was trying to get them to embrace Islam. And then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu was trying to get them to back off in regards to harming the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because they were unleashing their wrath upon the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So while Allah's Nabi was engrossed in this important task, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu comes onto the scene and he's looking for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, Ya Rasulallah, allimni mimma allamakallah. Ya Rasulallah, allimni mimma allamakallah. Oh my Nabi, please teach me. I want to learn more. I want to learn more. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is engrossed, is busy with this important task. And this sahabi radiallahu anhu, not knowing that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is occupied in this, he didn't know. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so occupied with something very, very important. And he asks to be taught. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned, because he was busy, he was engaging in this important task, so he frowns and he turns more towards this group to keep their attention with him, not to lose their attention. And in this, he doesn't respond to Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, but he continues with this discussion. And as soon as Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam terminates that gathering and he returns home, just as he's going, he was stopped with the revelation of the Quran coming upon him. And the verses of Quran come to the Messenger of Allah. These are the verses of Surah Abasa in the 30th juz of the Quran Kareem, wherein Allah Ta'ala says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma wa ma yudrika la'allahu yazzakka aw yadhakkaru fatanfa'ahu adh-dhikra amma man istaghna fa anta lahu tasadda wa ma 'alayka an la yazzakka wa amma man ja'aka yas'a wa huwa yakhsha fa anta 'anhu talahha كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة. 16 verses of the Quran revealed on the blessed heart of the blessed Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. I'll translate some of these verses. Allah says, he frowned. Allah doesn't say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you frowned. This is Allah's love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this would be very hurtful for the Nabi of Allah, for Allah to say it in that way. So Quran says, he frowned and turned, أَنْجَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى, when the man visually impaired approaches him. Then Allah says, وَمَا يُدَرِيكَ, and oh my Nabi, what would make you know? لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى, that he who is coming to learn with this desire, he will purify himself, or he will take lesson from what you are going to teach him, and your reminder and your admonishment and your lecture and your dars will benefit him, will avail him. فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. But as for the one who أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْلَى, as for he who deems himself self-sufficient, he deems himself independent from deen. He doesn't want deen. He doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want the talks of deen. He doesn't want the dars of deen. He is arrogant and proud. Allah save us from this evil trait. When a person thinks he knows it all and he doesn't want to learn from anyone. He who deems himself self-sufficient. O my Nabi, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَفَدَّى. So for him you repeatedly go. For him you repeatedly, you know, present yourself تَصَدَّى, تَصَدَّى, يَتَصَدَّى. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَذَّكَّى. And O my Nabi, it is not upon you that he doesn't change. But as for he who comes to you, وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. As for he who comes to you, يَسْعَى means to rush. And يَسْعَى also means to come with a great concern. Subhanallah, Quran, according to my knowledge, Quran uses this word يَسْعَى on three occasions. يَا يَسْعَى. He comes to you with a great concern and worry. And Quran uses this word also for ibadah in Surah Jumu'ah. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Today is Friday. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah tells us to hasten. Stop everything else. Close the stores. Close everything else. Go early. Hasten to the masjid to be early. Go with great importance and concern. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. Leave any deal at that time. This is the time for Jumu'ah. Give importance and priority to this. Quran uses this word, yasa. And the third occasion where this word is used is in Surah Yasin. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. And there came from the outskirts of the city a man coming with great importance and concern. He came rushing with a worry. What was his worry? That the Anbiya alayhimu salam were being denied and they were being harmed. So he came from the outskirts to support and make nusra of the Anbiya. He came to help. So he came to invite to Allah. So he came to call to Allah. He came to help the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. So yasa is used for da'wah. It's used for ibadah, used for learning, and here for da'wah. So where we are learning, where we are discussing it about the learning of the deen of Allah, yasa. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And he has the consciousness of Allah. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. From him, O my Nabi, why do you turn away from him? كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ. Nay, this is indeed a reminder, an admonishment. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. He who wants will take this lesson. Ajib. So imagine these verses of the Quran. These verses of the Quran were revealed in regards to Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the Sahabi so much that whenever he came, Allah's Nabi would call him, come Abdullah, come sit closer to me. And Allah's Nabi would teach him. And what's astonishing about that, Allah showed the importance of the one who has the zest and the desire to learn Allah's deen. We learn something very important from you, my respected listeners. Yes, we have to make deen available to humanity. But look at the importance Quran gives. Quran gives to he who has the desire to learn. When a person has the desire to learn, Quran has a lot of respect for such a person. And he who has the knowledge has no right to turn such a person down. That's why, my respected listeners, sometimes these people who come to you will ask you some basic understanding of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We should never turn such a person down. Make the deen available to that person. And yes, give deen to everyone. But to turn the one who wants, that's something we should never do. Sometimes the person will ask you for the Quran Sharif, for the translation of the Quran. Make it available to that person. He has the zest, he has the desire. Allah give us tawfiq. So this sahabi, he was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went through so much of sacrifices. Then the end of the Meccan period came closer. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then inviting to Islam in the Hajj period. And then what happened after that was, as Allah's Nabi was inviting to Allah during the Hajj period and the tribes were chasing him away, there was a group of 6 youngsters from Medina who embraced Islam. Then the 6 became 12. Then they came to request Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to send teachers to Medina. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent 2 sahaba. He sent a jamaat in the form of 2 men. Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum and Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhumah. These two Sahaba were sent to teach the deen of Allah in Madinah Munawwara. So we see from there how Sahaba strove in Allah's path. In spite of their ailment, in spite of their challenges, nothing hindered them from striving in Allah's way. And also we learn Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum's knowledge. The fact that he was sent, he knew so much because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would teach him so much. So he went now to teach what he learned from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran that he learned, the understanding of deen, and he went to Madinah Munawwara. And in Medina they would stay in Darul Qurra. It was known as Darul Qurra, meaning the madrasa. That was the house where they would stay, and they gave it the name Darul Qurra, as Zahabi rahimahullah mentioned. And then every day, As'ad bin Zurara would take them and they would make gush in Madinah Munawwara and strive and teach deen and gather the people in Madinah, gather the Muslims, gather the non-Muslims, and they would teach the deen of Allah Ta'ala in Madinah Munawwara. The Sahabi was so close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then after that, not long after that, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. When Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, and in the Medinan period, a great fikr came about. What was this fikr? This fikr was to gather people for salah. So Allah Ta'ala showed this dream to a sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbi. And then Abdullah bin Zayd presented the adhan to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah Ta'ala showed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is the reality, and Bilal radiallahu anhu was appointed as the muadzin. And who was the next muadzin? Was Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu. So these two were the muadzins of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What a great task is adhan. What a beautiful amal and deed is adhan. Adhan is something that we shouldn't give, look down upon. Adhan is something that we should aspire to give. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you only knew the virtue and the value of adhan, my ummah would actually argue and vie with one another to give the adhan. To such an extent that they would finally cast lots that who should give the adhan. So it's something really we should endeavor to bring as part and parcel of our life, the adhan. And if we can't give the adhan, sometimes the muadzin is giving the adhan and we want to give the adhan, at least listen to the adhan attentively, stop everything else during the adhan and repeat the words of the muadzin. After that, every dua is accepted. So Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu was also the muadzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bilal radiallahu anhu and himself had a system. One would give the adhan, the other would give the iqamah, and vice versa. And in Ramadan, they had a different system where Bilal radiallahu anhu would give the adhan for tahajjud and suhoor, sari. And Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu would give the adhan that fajr is in and sari is now ended. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the sahabi so much that on more than approximately 13 occasions, in the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Madinah Munawwara, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum was made the governor of Madinah Munawwara. One of those occasions is Fath Makkah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for Makkah Mukarramah on the occasion of Fath Makkah, and this Sahabi was made in charge of Madinah Munawwara. So this was the status of this Sahabi. After the Battle of Badr, Allah Ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran. Kharija bin Zayd is the son of Zayd bin Thabit. Zayd bin Thabit was the scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Kharija rahimahullah narrated, my father narrated this hadith to me, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Zayd radiallahu anhu, and just then the verses of the Quran were revealed. So Zayd says, it became so heavy for me, so heavy, that my thigh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's thigh was, leg was on my thigh, and it became so heavy, it almost crushed me. And then the verses of the Quran, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, right, Zayd, right. And what are the verses? After A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Allah is telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. Those who stay at home and those who strive in Allah's way can never ever be equal. Those who strive in the way of Allah and those who stay at home can never ever be equal. So Zayd, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum, in this is making dua, Allah. He just came there. What about those who can't and want to, but they have an ailment, they have challenges, they have sicknesses? What about such people? So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Zayd, read. So Zayd is reading what he wrote, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين. So Allah's Nabi, those who stay at home from the believers cannot be equal. Then Allah's Nabi said, stop. Another verse has been revealed. Write this, Zayd. غير أولي الضرر, except the handicapped. Except those who stayed behind because of a serious excuse, because of a proper excuse that they have. they are exempted from this. They will get the full reward because their intentions are sincere. لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. Those who stay at home and those who strive in the way of Allah with their wealth and their time can never ever be equal. فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة وكلا وعد الله الحسنى وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين أجرا عظيما. Allah Ta'ala has given those who strive and go in Allah's way much more status and superiority over those who stay at home, except those who stay behind because of handicap and serious excuses, true excuses that they have. Imagine the Sahabi was exempt from striving and going in jihad and going in Allah Ta'ala's way. But great souls do not get contented except with great sacrifices. This Sahabi, in spite of all of this, he still wanted to go in the path of Allah. He still went, and he would still participate, and he would still not want to miss the occasions with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and afterwards with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Something happened during the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu. It was the battle against the Persians, where Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was sent as the Amir in the battle of Qadisiyah, a very, very famous battle in Islamic history, where through which Islam, you know, finally triumphed in Persia, when the Persians were being oppressed and they tried to eradicate Islam and the Muslims. Umar radiallahu anhu sent Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. But Umar radiallahu anhu sent a letter to the different lands of Islam that everyone should be part and parcel of this sacrifice. Everyone should come to Medina Munawwara. Umar radiallahu anhu would welcome them and send them to Qadisiyah. Among those who also was ready to go was this Sahabi Abdullah, who was a mujahid, one who strives in Allah's way. Al-Makfuful Basar, he was visually impaired. Who was he? Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. He was part and parcel of this expedition. And in the Mashura, he put himself forward. He said, let me carry the banner. Let me carry the banner and I will defend the banner. I will not run anywhere. Because if the banner falls, we lose. I will carry that banner and I will not. So they put him between the Safs and he held that banner. And it was a very, very severe battle. It lasted for 3 days consecutively. And through this expedition, the throne of the one of the biggest thrones of the world at that time, the Persian Empire, was completely, you know, this was their big blow that caused their destruction. And many, many shuhada was the price of this great victory through which Islam spread from there to the four corners of the world. And amongst the shuhada was this great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, radiallahu anhu. He was found on the battlefield, drenched in his blood, hugging the banner of the Muslims. This was the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He passed away in the 14th year after Hijrah, after giving his life for Allah Ta'ala's deen. All his life,
may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your rendition of the story of Abdullah bin Maktoum radiallahu anhu. Mawlana, please, you know, you need to continue, inshallah, whatever is remaining of the incident of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Maktoum radiallahu anhu. We'll have to cross over to our 8 o'clock news. But Jazakullah khair, Mawlana, for joining us, and we trust that your safar will be productive and Allah Ta'ala will keep you safe.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair.